Welcome to the Nutritionally.com podcast. I'm Alex, here to help you take charge of your health and well-being. Let's dive into today's episode and get proactive about feeling your best. Hey there, health enthusiasts. It's Alex, your friendly neighborhood wellness coach, and I'm thrilled to kick off another episode of the Nutritionally.com podcast. You know, I had this funny thought this morning while I was frantically searching for my car keys. Wouldn't it be great if our bodies came with some sort of built-in GPS for health issues? Well, guess what? They kind of do. Today, we're diving into a topic that's close to my heart. Listening to your body and recognizing those early warning signs that can make all the difference in your health journey. Now, I know what you're thinking. Alex, I barely have time to listen to this podcast, let alone my body. Trust me, I get it. Life's busy, and sometimes it feels like we're all just running on autopilot. But here's the thing. Your body is constantly talking to you. Those little niggles, that unexplained fatigue, even those mood swings you've been blaming on your coworker's annoying habit of microwaving fish in the office, they're all potential signals that something might be off balance. In today's healthcare world, we often find ourselves reacting to problems after they've already become, well, problems. But what if I told you that you have the power to flip that script? That's right. We're going to explore how you can become the proactive protagonist in your own health story. So, grab your favorite healthy snack, get comfy, and let's embark on this journey together. We'll uncover the secrets of understanding those early warning signs, learn how to decode what your body's trying to tell you, and discover some simple yet powerful ways to keep yourself in tip-top shape. Remember, folks, this isn't about becoming a hypochondriac or obsessing over every little twinge. It's about tuning in, understanding your unique body language, and making informed choices that'll help you live your best, healthiest life. Are you ready to become fluent in the language of your body? Let's dive in and start listening. Your health will thank you for it. All right, let's talk about those early warning signs. You know, it's like your body has its own secret language, and once you learn to interpret it, you're basically a health detective. Cool, right? So what exactly are these early warning signs? Well, they're like little whispers from your body, trying to get your attention before things get too loud, if you know what I mean. These can range from physical symptoms, you know, the usual suspects like fatigue, unexplained aches, or changes in your appetite, to those sneaky psychological signs like mood swings or feeling stressed out more often than not. Now, I remember this one time when I was training for a marathon. Yeah, I went through that phase, and I kept ignoring this nagging pain in my knee. Oh, it's just part of the training, I told myself. Spoiler alert, it wasn't. By the time I finally paid attention, I was sidelined for weeks. Talk about a wake-up call. The thing is, our bodies are pretty smart. They're not trying to sabotage our plans or make us worry for no reason. When something's off, they start sending out these little SOS signals. The trick is learning to pick up on them before they turn into full-blown sirens. Let's break it down a bit. Physical signs might include things like persistent fatigue, even after a good night's sleep, unexplained weight changes, digestive issues that stick around, headaches that become more frequent. And then there are the mental and emotional signs, feeling more irritable or anxious than usual, having trouble concentrating or remembering things, changes in your sleep patterns, losing interest in things you usually enjoy. Now, I'm not saying you should panic every time you feel a bit off. We all have our off days, right? But if you notice these signs sticking around or getting worse, that's your cue to pay attention. Here's a little trick I use. I like to check in with myself every day, kind of like a mini body scan. How am I feeling physically, mentally, emotionally? It only takes a minute, but it helps me stay tuned into what's going on. Remember, recognizing these signs early isn't about being paranoid. It's about being proactive. It's like catching a small leak before it turns into a flood. By paying attention to these early warnings, you can often nip potential health issues in the bud, saving yourself a lot of trouble down the road. So, my friends, start listening to your body's whispers. Trust me, it's way better than waiting for it to start shouting. Your body will thank you. And hey, you might even impress your doctor at your next checkup with your newfound body listening superpowers. All right, health champions, before we sign off, I want to leave you with a call to action. Because let's face it, all this knowledge is great, but it's what we do with it that really counts. First and foremost, if you've enjoyed today's episode and found it valuable, I'd be thrilled if you'd share it with a friend or family member who might benefit from it. Spreading the word about health is one of the best ways we can support each other. Now, for those of you itching to dive deeper into the topics we've covered today, I've got just the thing for you. Head over to our website, nutritionally.com. We've got a treasure trove of resources waiting for you there. From in-depth articles expanding on today's topics, to practical guides on implementing these health strategies in your daily life, we've got you covered. And hey, while you're there, why not sign up for our newsletter? It's packed with the latest health tips, delicious recipes, and exclusive content you won't find anywhere else. Trust me, your inbox will thank you. For those of you who are more social media savvy, give us a follow on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. We're always sharing quick health tips, motivational quotes, and even some behind-the-scenes peeks at what goes into making this podcast. Now, here's a special invitation for you. We're starting a 30-day Listen to Your Body Challenge. It's all about tuning into those early warning signs and making small, positive changes in your daily routine. You can find all the details on our website, and I'd love for you to join us. Let's support each other in becoming more in tune with our bodies. Lastly, if you've got a moment, we'd be incredibly grateful if you could leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback not only helps us improve the show, but also helps other health seekers find us. Remember, every step you take towards better health, no matter how small, is a victory. So whether it's checking out our website, joining our challenge, or simply taking a moment to listen to your body today, you're making a positive change, and that's something to be proud of. Thank you for tuning in to the Nutritionally.com podcast. Until next time, this is Alex, reminding you to stay curious, stay proactive, and above all, stay healthy. Now, let's chat about something that might surprise you when it comes to your health, social connection. Yep, you heard that right. Those coffee dates with friends, family dinners, or even quick chats with your neighbor aren't just fun. They're actually crucial for your well-being. You know, it's funny. We often think of health as something purely physical, like eating your veggies or hitting the gym. But here's the kicker. Your social life plays a massive role in keeping you healthy. It's like the secret ingredient in the recipe for wellness that not enough people talk about. Let me paint you a picture. Imagine two people, one who's always surrounded by friends and family, constantly laughing and sharing stories. Now picture someone else who's often alone, rarely interacting with others. Who do you think is likely to be healthier? If you guessed the social butterfly, you're spot on. Research shows that loneliness and isolation can be seriously bad news for your health. It's not just about feeling a bit down. We're talking increased inflammation, higher risk of heart disease, and other chronic illnesses. It's like your body goes into a stress mode when you're isolated for too long. On the flip side, strong social connections are like a superpower for your health. They can help reduce stress, improve your heart health, and even boost your immune system. It's like having a personal cheerleading squad for your body. I remember when I first moved to a new city for work. I was so focused on my job that I barely made time for socializing. After a few months, I noticed I was feeling more stressed, my sleep was off, and I was catching every cold that came around. It wasn't until I started making an effort to connect with people, joining a local running group, attending community events, that I started feeling like myself again. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking, but Alex, I'm an introvert, or I don't have time for a busy social life. Don't worry, it's not about becoming a social butterfly overnight. It's about finding meaningful connections that work for you. That could be a weekly call with a close friend, joining a book club, or even volunteering for a cause you care about. The key is to make these connections a priority. Think of it as important as your daily workout or your healthy eating habits. Schedule time for social activities, reach out to old friends, or try new ways to meet people who share your interests. And here's a little tip. Quality often trumps quantity when it comes to social connections. A few deep, meaningful relationships can be more beneficial than a large network of casual acquaintances. So here's your challenge. This week, make an effort to strengthen your social connections. Call that friend you've been meaning to catch up with, organize a family game night, or strike up a conversation with someone new, your body and mind will thank you for it. Remember, we're social creatures by nature. Embracing that part of ourselves isn't just good for our souls, it's essential for our health. So go ahead, connect, laugh, share, and watch how it transforms your well-being. Trust me, it's the most enjoyable health boost you'll ever experience. Let's talk about something that's absolutely crucial for taking charge of your health, health literacy. Now, I know what you're thinking. Alex, that sounds like something straight out of a textbook. But stick with me here, because this is actually super important, and dare I say, pretty interesting. So what exactly is health literacy? Well, it's basically your ability to find, understand, and use health information and services. It's like having a superpower that helps you navigate the sometimes confusing world of healthcare. And trust me, in today's information overload society, it's a superpower worth having. Think about it this way. Have you ever left a doctor's appointment feeling more confused than when you went in? Or maybe you've read a health article online and felt like it was written in a foreign language? That's where health literacy comes in handy. I'll never forget the time I overheard someone in a pharmacy asking if they should take their antibiotic twice daily or biweekly. Big difference, right? That's a perfect example of how important it is to understand health information correctly. Now here's the thing. Poor health literacy isn't just frustrating. It can actually be dangerous. It can lead to misunderstandings about medical terms, misinterpretation of health statistics, and difficulties in managing chronic conditions. Imagine trying to manage diabetes without really understanding what your blood sugar levels mean or how your medication works. Not ideal, right? But don't worry. Improving your health literacy isn't about becoming a medical expert overnight. It's about developing skills to help you make informed decisions about your health. Here are a few tips to boost your health literacy. 1. Don't be afraid to ask questions. If your healthcare provider says something you don't understand, speak up. They're there to help you, not to confuse you. 2. Use reputable sources for health information. Not all health websites are created equal. Stick to trusted sources like government health websites or well-known medical institutions. 3. Learn some basic medical terminology. You don't need to become fluent in medical ease, but knowing some common terms can be really helpful. 4. Practice explaining health concepts to others. If you can explain something clearly, it usually means you understand it well yourself. 5. Be critical of health claims, especially those that sound too good to be true. Remember, if it sounds like magic, it probably is. Improving your health literacy is like learning any new skill. It takes practice, but it gets easier over time. And the payoff is huge. When you understand your health better, you can make better decisions, communicate more effectively with healthcare providers, and take a more active role in your own well-being. So next time you come across a health term you don't understand, instead of glazing over it, take a moment to look it up. Or when you're at your next checkup, challenge yourself to ask at least one question about something you've always wondered about. Remember, knowledge really is power when it comes to your health. By boosting your health literacy, you're not just becoming a more informed patient, you're becoming the CEO of your own health. And let me tell you, that's a pretty awesome job to have. All right, folks, let's dive into something that's been buzzing in the health world lately, the holistic health approach. Now, don't worry, I'm not about to suggest you start chanting mantras or aligning your chakras, unless that's your thing, of course. The holistic approach is actually a pretty practical and sensible way of looking at your health. So what's this holistic health thing all about? Well, it's like looking at your health through a wide-angle lens instead of a microscope. It's about seeing the whole picture of you, not just your physical body, but your mind, your emotions, and even your social life. It's health in HD, if you will. Think about it this way. Have you ever noticed how when you're stressed, you might get headaches or catch a cold more easily? Or how eating a nutritious meal can boost your mood? That's because everything in your body is connected. Your physical health affects your mental health, which affects your emotional health, which circles back to your physical health. It's like a health merry-go-round. I remember when I first learned about this approach, I was dealing with some persistent digestive issues, and no matter what diet I tried, nothing seemed to help. It wasn't until I started looking at my whole life, my stress levels, my sleep habits, even my relationships, that I started to see improvements. Turns out, my stomach issues were more about my hectic lifestyle than the food I was eating. Now, here's where it gets really interesting. A holistic approach doesn't just mean combining conventional medicine with alternative therapies, although that can be part of it. It's about addressing the root causes of poor health, including things like your environment, your relationships, and even your life experiences. For example, let's say you're dealing with high blood pressure. A holistic approach wouldn't just involve medication and diet changes. It might also look at your stress levels, your sleep quality, your exercise habits, and even your job satisfaction. It's about treating you as a whole person, not just a set of symptoms. So how can you start embracing a more holistic approach to your health? Here are a few ideas. 1. Pay attention to the connections in your body. Notice how your physical health affects your mood and vice versa. 2. Consider your environment. Is your home or workplace contributing to stress or health issues? 3. Look at your relationships. Are they supportive and nurturing, or are they draining your energy? 4. Don't neglect your mental and emotional health. They're just as important as your physical health. 5. Be open to different approaches. Sometimes a combination of conventional and complementary therapies can be really effective. Remember, adopting a holistic approach doesn't mean abandoning traditional medicine. It's about complementing it, filling in the gaps, and seeing the bigger picture of your health. So next time you're dealing with a health issue, try taking a step back and looking at the whole you. You might be surprised at what you discover. After all, you're not just a collection of body parts. You're a wonderfully complex, interconnected human being. And your approach to health should reflect that. Now, let's talk about a topic that's really important but often doesn't get the attention it deserves, the public health approach to substance use. I know, it sounds a bit heavy, but stick with me here. This is something that affects all of us, whether directly or indirectly. First off, let's get real for a second. Substance use disorders are a huge public health issue. We're not just talking about a few people making bad choices. This is something that impacts entire communities, families, and even our healthcare system as a whole. But here's the thing. For too long, we've been treating substance use as purely a personal problem or a criminal issue. The public health approach flips that script. It's about stepping back and looking at the bigger picture, kind of like what we talked about with holistic health, but on a community scale. So what does this approach look like? Well, it's all about breaking the silence and stigma around substance misuse. It's about creating supportive environments for recovery and advocating for community-level interventions. Basically, it's about treating substance use as a health issue, not a moral failing. I remember talking to a friend who works in addiction recovery, and she told me something that really stuck with me. She said, "Alex, we wouldn't shame someone for having diabetes or cancer. Why do we shame people struggling with substance use?" And you know what? She's absolutely right. This public health approach involves a few key strategies. 1, prevention programs. These are evidence-based programs that aim to stop substance use before it starts, especially among young people. 2, harm reduction. This is about meeting people where they are. It includes things like distributing naloxone, which can reverse opioid overdoses, or providing clean needle exchange programs. 3, community support. This means creating environments where people feel safe seeking help without fear of judgment or punishment. 4, education. Not just for individuals struggling with substance use, but for the whole community. The more we understand, the better we can support each other. Now, I can almost hear some of you thinking, "But Alex, isn't this just enabling people?" And I get it, I really do. But here's the thing. Research shows that these approaches actually work. They save lives, reduce the spread of diseases, and help more people get into recovery. Think about it this way. If someone you loved was struggling with substance use, wouldn't you want them to have access to help and support, rather than facing judgment and isolation? So what can we do as individuals to support this public health approach? Well, for starters, we can educate ourselves about substance use disorders. We can challenge the stigma when we see it, and we can advocate for policies and programs that treat substance use as a health issue, not a criminal one. Remember, substance use doesn't discriminate. It affects people from all walks of life. By taking a public health approach, we're not just helping individuals, we're strengthening our entire community. So the next time you hear about substance use issues in your community, try to look at it through this public health lens. It might just change the way you think about the problem and the solutions. Because at the end of the day, we're all in this together, and a healthier community benefits everyone. All right, my health conscious friends, it's time for the part you've all been waiting for, actionable tips. Because let's face it, all this knowledge is great, but what we really want is to know how to put it into practice, right? So let's dive into some simple, practical steps you can take to boost your health game. First up, let's talk about regular health screenings. I know, going to the doctor when you're not sick might seem counterintuitive, but trust me on this one. It's like taking your car for a tune-up before it breaks down on the highway. Regular checkups can catch potential issues early, saving you a lot of trouble down the road. So schedule that annual physical, get those recommended screenings, and stay on top of your health. Next, let's chat about mindfulness practices. Now, before you roll your eyes thinking I'm going to tell you to spend hours meditating on a mountaintop, hear me out. Mindfulness can be as simple as taking a few deep breaths when you're feeling stressed, or really paying attention to the taste and texture of your food as you eat. It's about being present in the moment. I started with just 5 minutes of mindful breathing each morning, and let me tell you, it's been a game changer for my stress levels. Moving on to healthy lifestyle choices, I'm not talking about a complete life overhaul here. Small, consistent changes can make a big difference. Maybe it's swapping out one processed snack for a piece of fruit each day, or taking a 10-minute walk during your lunch break. Remember, it's not about perfection, it's about progress. Now, let's circle back to something we talked about earlier. Social engagement. Building and maintaining strong social connections is crucial for your health. So make it a point to reach out to a friend, join a club, or volunteer for a cause you care about. Your mind and body will thank you for it. Here's a tip that's often overlooked: sleep hygiene. Creating a consistent sleep routine can do wonders for your overall health. Try to go to bed and wake up at the same time each day, even on weekends. And here's a personal favorite: create a relaxing bedtime ritual. For me, it's a cup of herbal tea and a few pages of a good book. Lastly, let's talk about the power of gratitude. Taking a moment each day to acknowledge what you're thankful for can significantly improve your mental health and overall outlook. I keep a gratitude journal by my bedside and jot down 3 things I'm grateful for each night. It's a small habit, but it's made a big difference in how I approach each day. Remember, the key to making these tips work is consistency. You don't have to do everything at once. Pick 1 or 2 that resonate with you and start there. Small, consistent actions over time lead to big results. And hey, don't forget to celebrate your wins, no matter how small they might seem. Did you drink an extra glass of water today? That's a win. Did you take the stairs instead of the elevator? Another win. These little victories add up and keep you motivated on your health journey. So there you have it, folks, some simple, actionable tips to help you take charge of your health. Remember, you're the CEO of your own well-being. These tips are your tools, so use them wisely. And don't forget to visit our website, nutritionally.com, for more in-depth guides on implementing these tips in your daily life. Your future, healthier self will thank you for it. Now, let's dive into something I absolutely love: real-life stories. Because there's nothing quite like hearing from people who've been there, done that, and come out the other side healthier and happier. I want to share a story about my friend Sarah. Sarah was your typical busy professional, always on the go, burning the candle at both ends. She prided herself on being able to power through anything. Sounds familiar, right? Well, one day, Sarah started noticing some changes. She was constantly tired, had trouble concentrating, and was getting these nasty headaches. But being Sarah, she ignored these signs, chalking them up to just being stressed from work. It wasn't until she nearly fainted during an important presentation that she realized something was seriously wrong. Long story short, Sarah was diagnosed with severe anemia. The kicker? If she'd paid attention to those early warning signs and gotten checked out sooner, it would have been much easier to treat. This experience was a wake-up call for Sarah. She started really tuning into her body, making time for regular checkups, and prioritizing her health. Now she's thriving, both in her career and her personal life. She always tells me, "Alex, I wish I'd started listening to my body years ago." Then there's Mark, a guy from my running group. Mark had always been a bit of a lone wolf, priding himself on his independence. But when he hit his 50s, he started feeling, well, not quite himself. He was losing interest in things he used to enjoy and felt constantly on edge. At first, Mark tried to handle it on his own, but after months of feeling low, he finally opened up to our running group. The support he received was incredible. We encouraged him to see a therapist, and some of us even started having weekly dinners together. The change in Mark was remarkable. Not only did his mood improve, but he also found he had more energy for running and other activities. He always says that learning to reach out and connect with others was the best thing he ever did for his health. Lastly, I want to share a story about my Aunt Linda. Linda was always the life of the party, but she had a habit of using alcohol to cope with stress. For years, she didn't think it was a problem. After all, she only drank socially, right? It wasn't until her doctor took a public health approach during a routine checkup that things changed. Instead of judgment, the doctor offered understanding and resources. This opened Linda's eyes to how her drinking was affecting her health and relationships. With support from her community and family, Linda was able to change her relationship with alcohol. She found healthier ways to manage stress and even started a support group in her neighborhood for others facing similar challenges. These stories remind us that health journeys are rarely straight lines. They're full of ups and downs, lessons learned, and sometimes surprising turns. But they also show us the power of listening to our bodies, reaching out for support, and taking those first steps towards better health. Remember, every health success story starts with that first decision to make a change. Maybe hearing these stories has sparked something in you. If so, don't wait. Your story of better health could be just beginning. And hey, if you have your own health journey you'd like to share, we'd love to hear it. Head over to nutritionally.com and share your story. Who knows, you might just inspire someone else to take that first step towards better health. All right, folks, it's time for one of my favorite parts of the show, the Q&A segment. I love this because it's where we get to address the burning health questions that you, our amazing listeners, have sent in. So let's dive right in, shall we? Our first question comes from Jamie in Seattle. Jamie asks, "Alex, I keep hearing about inflammation being bad for health, but what exactly is it, and how can I reduce it?" Great question, Jamie. Inflammation is basically your body's response to harm. It's like your internal emergency response team. Short-term inflammation, like when you twist your ankle, is actually good. It helps you heal. But chronic, long-term inflammation? That's where the problems start. It's been linked to all sorts of issues, from heart disease to diabetes. As for reducing it, there are several things you can do. First, focus on an anti-inflammatory diet. Think lots of colorful fruits and veggies, whole grains, and healthy fats like those in fish and nuts. Regular exercise, good sleep, and stress management also help. And here's a tip. Spices like turmeric and ginger are great natural anti-inflammatories. I love adding them to my morning smoothie. Next up, we have a question from Carlos in Miami. He asks, "I've been trying to meditate, but I can't seem to quiet my mind. Any tips for beginners?" Oh, Carlos, I feel you on this one. When I first started meditating, I thought my brain was broken because it just wouldn't shut up. But here's the thing. Meditation isn't about having no thoughts. It's about observing your thoughts without getting caught up in them. Start small, even just 5 minutes a day. Use a guided meditation app if that helps. And remember, every time you notice your mind has wandered and you bring it back to your breath, that's not a failure. That is the meditation. It's like a bicep curl for your brain. Our last question is from Samantha in Chicago. She writes, "Alex, how do I know if I'm getting enough sleep? I feel tired all the time, but I'm in bed for 8 hours every night. This is such a common issue, Samantha. First off, being in bed for 8 hours doesn't necessarily mean you're sleeping for 8 hours. Quality matters as much as quantity when it comes to sleep. Try tracking your sleep for a week. Note when you go to bed, when you wake up, and how you feel during the day. Are you waking up a lot during the night? Is your bedroom dark and quiet enough? Sometimes, small changes like reducing screen time before bed or keeping a consistent sleep schedule can make a big difference. If you're still feeling exhausted after making these changes, it might be worth chatting with your doctor. Persistent fatigue can sometimes be a sign of underlying health issues. Well, that's all we have time for in our Q&A segment today. Remember, if you have a health question you'd like answered on the show, head over to nutritionally.com and submit it. We love hearing from you and addressing your health concerns. And hey, even if your question didn't get answered today, keep them coming. Your questions not only help you, but might also be exactly what another listener needs to hear. After all, we're all in this health journey together. Well, health enthusiasts, we've covered a lot of ground today, haven't we? From recognizing those sneaky early warning signs your body sends out, to understanding the power of social connections, and even diving into the world of health literacy. We've explored the holistic approach to health, tackled the tough topic of substance use from a public health perspective, and shared some real-life stories that I hope have inspired you. But here's the thing. All this information isn't worth much if we don't put it into action, right? That's why I want to encourage each and every one of you to take at least one thing from today's episode and apply it to your life. Maybe it's starting that daily check-in with your body, or reaching out to an old friend to strengthen your social connections. Perhaps it's looking up a health term you've always been curious about, or trying out a new mindfulness practice. Remember, the journey to better health isn't about making massive overnight changes. It's about those small, consistent steps that add up over time. It's about becoming more aware, more in tune with your body and mind, and more proactive about your well-being. And let's not forget, you're not on this journey alone. We're all in this together, supporting each other, learning from one another, and growing healthier as a community. That's the beauty of taking a holistic, led public health approach to our well-being. As we wrap up, I want to leave you with this thought. Your health is your most valuable asset. It's what allows you to show up fully in your life, to pursue your passions, to be there for the people you love. So treat it with the care and attention it deserves. Be curious about it, nurture it, and most importantly, listen to it. You have the power to be the CEO of your own health. You have the ability to recognize those early warning signs, to make informed decisions, and to create positive changes in your life. And remember, every step you take towards better health, no matter how small, is a victory worth celebrating. So as you go about your week, I challenge you to tune in a little more closely to your body's signals. Take a moment each day to check in with yourself, and don't forget to show yourself some compassion along the way. After all, this journey of health is a marathon, not a sprint. Thank you for joining me on this exploration of proactive health. I hope you're walking away feeling empowered, informed, and ready to take charge of your well-being. Here's to your health, your happiness, and your journey towards a vibrant, thriving life. Thank you for joining us on the Nutritionally.com podcast. I hope you found today's episode helpful and inspiring. Remember, taking proactive steps today can lead to a healthier tomorrow. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes, and visit Nutritionally.com for more tips and resources. Stay healthy, stay proactive, and I'll see you next time.